There is no way to adequately describe the rush of emotions that come when holding a brand new baby, one who has just come into the light of the world. That feeling is particularly amazing when the child is your own, flesh of your own flesh, blood of your own blood. But holding a new baby and witnessing firsthand the miracle of new life is awe-inducing. There's a wash of tenderness and a surge of protectiveness for this new and fragile life. The feelings are not just emotional, but physical as well. It's as though our very cells and ligaments join together to care for the new life in our midst. Perhaps surprisingly, we're not alone in that emotion-laden experience. That protective, loving, nurturing, tender care is what God feels for each and every one of us. Young and old, plump and thin, fair and dark, tall and short, rich and poor. In every condition of humanity, in every condition of our humanity, that is what God feels towards each of us. In Isaiah, God speaks of his love for his people. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. God says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Those are God's words to his people. You are precious, honored, and loved by God. Can we hear these words spoken to us? Can we let these words wrap around us like a comfortable blanket? Can we allow these words to actually sink into our hearts? Not me, we might think. I can imagine God saying those words to other people, but I am not worthy. I'm not good enough. I've made too many mistakes, fallen too low, messed up too often. I'm not precious. I'm not one to honor. Most of the time, I can't imagine that I could be loved, especially not by God. And yet that is what God says to his people. You are precious, honored, and loved. Perhaps the word precious has been overused in sugar-sweet southern vernacular. Perhaps precious sounds like one of those backhanded, caramelized words that has been drained of its true punch. Precious may bring to mind a cuddly puppy, or the perfect sweater, or even a chubby-cheeked, big-eyed infant adorned with a bow the size of a football. Or precious may bring to mind something as syrupy as Milo's over-the-top sweet tea. But none of that does justice to what Isaiah wants us to hear from God. Precious in this application means special, unique, valuable, like a precious jewel, something of great value. And that is God's description of each of us, not a throwaway, not an accident, of great value. To bring depth to the connectedness we have with God, God reminds, I have formed you and made you and called you by name. You are not a random assembly of cells that happened out of a circumstance. You have been formed and made and known. Do not think you are unknown or hidden. You are not. God formed you and made you and called you by name. God's words, God's calling forth is effectual. When God speaks, God's words cause action. Remember in Genesis, where God speaks creation into being? God speaks life into being. God's very words, God's very word is action. And each time God speaks creation into being, God pronounces the creative effect to be good. All of creation is good, culminating with human life, which God proclaims as very good. That has not changed. Each time a new person is created, God proclaims that work of creation as good indeed. In the forming and making and naming, God stakes a claim. Naming is the act of making the named ones one's own. Naming is important. Much time is spent by soon-to-be parents determining the right name for their child. Should it be a family name? Something unique? Should we wait until we see the child to know if the name fits her personality? Or will the name determine his personality? Naming is important. God gave Adam, man, the responsibility for naming the animals, and in doing so, gave the responsibility for those animals and all creation to human beings. Naming something is an extension of having responsibility for that which is named. On the day before Lobsterfest, 2 years ago, when Tom and I adopted our wire-haired black mixed terrier from the shelter in Pell City, the name she left the shelter with was Curly. And Curly is not a bad name necessarily, but it just didn't fit for us. All I could think of was the Three Stooges and Larry, Curly, and Moe, which embodies a style of slapstick comedy that I've never really warmed up to. And she was so small and cute and cuddly, even precious. This little girl puppy, and she seemed that she needed a more girly name. Fearful that she might have actually learned her name Curly at the shelter, I determined that we should come up with something close so we wouldn't confuse her any more than necessary. So Carly it was, and Carly it is, and it fits. Names are important, but even more important is being named, marked, and claimed. Along with the love note from God that we have in Isaiah today is the story from Luke's gospel of the baptism of Jesus. The story is packed with images of water and washing, cleansing and hope for life refreshed. The people we hear are filled with expectation. They await something new. They look expectantly for the one who will bring them out of their current situation, who will restore their freedom and make them a free people, not a people living under the rule of a foreign government. They are looking for something that will bring new life, fresh life, free life. People living under the rule of others yearn for the day when their freedom will be restored, when their national identity will be restored. And those gathered along the Jordan to be baptized by John wanted and yearned for all of those freedoms. They longed for the one who would restore Israel to what it had been when David was king. But John is not the one. On the edge of the river, teeming with hope and expectation and sins and dirt and the muck of the lives of the people who have so much at stake, appears the one who John has pointed to. He steps into the water, wades in deeper and deeper, covered over with all that has gone before. And just as Jesus comes out of the water and starts to pray, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit is visibly present like a dove, and Jesus is named by God. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And with that same naming, we are each named, beloved, precious, honored, and loved, with whom God is well pleased. Do we deserve this? No. Are we due this? No. Is there anything we can do to earn this place of honor, this belovedness, this preciousness? not a thing. This is a gift, a free gift, an amazingly freeing gift, a gift of grace. Amen.